Okay, this is the fellowship call. I call it the Protestant call on 12/29/21. It's Wednesday evening, and it will be starting in about 4 minutes. So I'll go over there and see who would like to be on the fellowship call tonight on Skype.
Have you aboard?
Awesome. There he is.
Good morning. Good evening. Good evening, Robert. We missed you last week. Glad to have you back with us. And Mike, I enjoyed the top of your head is cut off, Mike. I can only see you. There you go.
Yeah, see, for some reason, it's not showing me what you guys are seeing.
I got you. I hear you. Well, it's good. I'm glad that you can be with us tonight, and I enjoyed your email. And Rodney is with us. I'm not sure, Rodney, if you have, and Walt, I just finished your other book, and I just sent you a copy of it, and it was approved. The title of the book is The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy Part 2. And it's in your file, Walt, so you can check it out.
Okay.
So, well, I'm glad we could all join together. And Mike, why don't you just give us a little background on yourself and how you came to discover this little fellowship.
Okay. Man, I mean, for my whole life, I was a professional musician.
Okay.
And it was, my life was immersed in drugs and alcohol, got 3 DUIs. I was pretty much hopeless. And I thought I was hopeless too. I thought I was going to drink till I die. And I was sitting in my basement, and this King James Bible started calling to me off the shelf, and I knew the answer was in there. You know, I started reading. I couldn't stop reading it. And to kind of condense the story, I walked away. I mean, I've played professionally on like 4 albums.
Wow.
And I just had to walk away from the whole lifestyle and everything. And about 6 years ago when I did that, the Lord graciously gave me a job as a housekeeper at Good Samaritan Hospital over here in Downers Grove.
Wow.
And within 2 years, I worked my way up to a perioperative assistant in surgery. And I ended up getting into a Baptist church playing this newer, what do you call it, conservative Christian music. And that was great while it lasted, but now I'm starting to see that, I think I may have made mention in that letter I sent you that, right. Even my church is starting to kind of idolize the masks and the vaccines. And
wow.
I actually had to walk away from my job because I ended up getting a religious exemption.
Okay.
So I didn't have to take the vaccine, but then they started pushing the PCR testing.
Wow.
And the problem I had with that was I knew that it was false. I mean, and then the hypocrisy was me and the other people that have the exemptions, we're being forced to do the swabbing, but we're watching the people who are vaccinated, they're getting COVID more than the unvaccinated.
That's right.
So I was like, and I wrote a caring letter to my supervisors, and I said, I just can't continue in this false hypocrisy. And I said, I pray that that you will love one another with the way Jesus loves us and, you know, kind of tried to lead them in the direction, because everybody knows I'm Christian over
right,
there.
Right, right.
You know, and so that's kind of where I'm at. And that was last month. So I've been out of work for a month.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't know. We've got Tom and Tori who've joined us, and I don't know if you know Tom's story, but Tom worked for the state of Washington, and he had to leave his job because of this. And he's now doing, I guess a good way of saying it, Tom, is alternative employment is the way to say it. And not necessarily something he would choose. And Rodney, Rodney, your mic is muted. Can you just tell us, you've just got your, you know, can you just kind of give us a little bit of profile of yourself and what brought you to the call tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm pretty much a baby believer myself.
Okay.
For about the last 4 years or so, and I really don't know what to say. I'm in Nebraska.
Okay.
On the call from Nebraska, but I have been listening to you, brother, for probably 3 years or so.
Oh, wow.
Ever since.
That's scary.
Ever since, you know. Yeah.
Oh.
But that's about all I got to say.
Well, thank you, Rodney, for joining us. We're really glad to have you with us, and I'm going to make an announcement now for the group that's here. Tom and I are going to be starting a Bible study on Sunday night. We're going to be going through the book of John, and it will be posted on all forums. I mean, these fellowship calls are really good, because people need to vent and we need to build each other up in the faith and that. But I really felt like I needed to get back to, just exposition Bible study. And so Tom has graciously agreed to help me on that project. And so I really want to thank Tom for that. I want to welcome Adeola. Adeola, we have quite a group with us tonight. We have Robert. We have Mike Orr, a new believer. Rodney, has listened to us for a while now, but he's come on board tonight. Tom and Walt Stickle. So welcome aboard, Adeola.
Thank you.
So, well, Robert, would you just lead us in prayer before we kind of get started tonight? Would you do that for us?
Absolutely. Father God, Lord, name your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for this technology that I know Satan means for evil, Lord. And I just thank you so much for letting us use it to attempt to glorify thee, Lord, in meeting with the brethren, Lord. And I pray that we would edify one another, that we would build each other up in the faith, that we would encourage one another, that we would rebuke and exhort one another if need be, Lord. And I just pray that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth, that you would increase our faith, and that you would bless the fruit of our lips, Lord, that you would give us, you would fill us all with those words that do not return unto thee void, that we might be encouraged and that we might be comforted with thy word and with the scriptures, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with the light of thy word, that you would cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray that you would increase our love for thee, for thy truth, for thy word, for thy gospel, that we would lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not treasures on this earth. And Lord, I pray that not our will, Father, but thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to decrease, that you would increase in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, our God and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Robert, for doing that. Walt, I'm gonna pass the baton over to you for a minute. Why don't you just share a little bit what's been going on, Walt, with, we've been going through quite a, Walt and I are going to be doing a broadcast tomorrow morning, at 10 o'clock. I think we, what time did we say we were going to do that broadcast? It was 12 o'clock my time, was it not, Walt?
Yes.
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock Central Time.
And we've been kind of in prayer and contemplating what that broadcast is going to entail. It's going to be, we had done a broadcast three months ago when Walt was out here, and then when Walt went home, and then we did a broadcast, and we haven't broadcasted since. And so tomorrow, why don't you just, Walt, kind of go over a little bit with what's on your mind for that broadcast tomorrow. That way I'll have a clue what's on your mind, too. Go ahead.
Well, it's, you know, I sent a little email to Ashley in Australia, and I sent it to Adeola, too, and I think I sent it to you, you know, on futurism. And what's on my mind is, when I got this, email back from Ashley in Australia, you know, it's right to the point. I mean, futurism and preterism has taken the eye off of the Reformation. It's taken the eye off of who our the beast is, who our enemy, who the enemy is, who is the Antichrist.
Right.
See, I mean, it's like the Bible says, it's many antichrists, but because of the pandemic, those two books I put together, you know, I didn't write the books, but I did add to the books. What's on my mind too is how well the Jesuits have masqueraded behind the scenes and have countered the Reformation. You know, I said to Larry, how many people could I, give this to? How many people in the street have enough history to understand what's some of the stuff that's in the book? See, because that's what the Jesuits have done. They've taken our history away. And,
hey, I see Ashley from Australia has just joined us. Ashley, we're really glad to have you with us tonight. And Walt has really appreciated the dialogue you've had back and forth with him. And, I want to thank you for jumping on board tonight.
Okay, thanks, Larry. Greetings to everybody there.
Yeah. And Ashley, I know you're going through the waters, the deep waters right now. I've been getting your emails, and that one email they're talking about now, what is the new requirement? They're trying to make the booster. Help me out with that. What exactly?
They're trying to enforce the third booster shot. In actual fact, it will be implemented by the end of next month in January.
Wow.
They're trying to mandate it for all the on front line workers. And but the other thing that's a bit concerning is something that I've been hearing, and probably affects Canada as well, actually, that the trucking industry, and that's being hit, like food supplies here, there's going to be a shortage here, I believe. Probably within the next month. That's why, you know, I've been stocking up on a lot of essential goods. And the transport here is being affected because a lot of the truck drivers here are refusing the jab. And the farmers also are refusing the jab. And especially in Western Australia, the Premier there is very cracked down and said that those who don't accept the jab, like the trucking industry or the farmers, and that will be cut off. So I believe that the food supply chain will be affected here. And as well, I've actually heard the same thing going on in Canada as well.
Yeah. Ashley, I would tend to agree with that. Because the fact that Canada is such a big country that we rely on, like, transport and rail, mostly outside of air. And, like, even here, it's not hard for things to run out quickly. So So the trucking industry, like right now, there are a lot of truck drivers who are retiring. They're just quitting the industry because they've had enough. So that's quitting a supply chain. I mean, just out in BC, they had that major storm right now. And the main choke point is in the Port of Vancouver and the main highway leaving that area. So what's happening is that since that, the major highway as well as rail has been disrupted, and they've literally built a lot of farms in a drained lake bed. So a lot of farms have been flooded. So the cost of beef has shot up, the cost of vegetables has shot up and everything. So now they're having to rearrange everything in terms of going into states or going around the continent for a supply. So that's going to have a delay on a lot of things. So what you're describing, it's, I'm seeing it here. There is a three or four month display, like delay.
Who's that?
But the one slight advantage here, especially in Northern Ontario, there are a lot of, there's a rich hunting culture up here in Northern Ontario. Well, in Canada, but in Northern Ontario, that I'm aware of, there's a rich hunting culture up here. Like hunting, fishing, trapping. So with the natives and non-natives, like indigenous, you can better compensate for that. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm just like you. I mean, stock up on the freezer, vitamins, minerals, what you can, for at least a few months. I would agree, and also prepare. So we're going through the same thing, but in a slightly different way, right that way.
Tom, I had a question.
Not the extension of Australia. Like, seriously, it won't surprise me. Like, going here in Canada, nothing surprises me anymore.
I had a question for Tom. Tom, I know that you're there in the Vancouver area and you're kind of knowledgeable a little bit about what's going on because you're delivering packages all the time and all of that. What have you heard about has UPS and FedEx been totally backed up over the Christmas season? And what is your thoughts about the transport?
Well, it's been actually slower. My son said that this year was actually slower than last year.
Wow.
But they are expected. They've had a lot of misloads for some reason. Some loads have gone missing or they've been delayed or what. So they are expecting that it's supposed to get busy now, which is kind of weird, right after the holidays.
Wow. Well, I had talked to Louise Dreeves, and of course the U.S. Postal Service is totally different, but I mean, she has just been overwhelmed. I mean, of course she's up in Minnesota, but she's been working 15-hour days every day, and they still aren't able to get everything delivered. She's been just totally exhausted, and so we want to keep her in our prayers because she's just kind of just take them one step at a time, you know, one step before and that. So, but you know, I guess all of this that we're seeing, all of these videos, all of this can be really overwhelming, but you know, it's like I said this morning, the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization and all of the people associated with them and we know where all of this is originating from, and the fact is they're into fear-mongering, that they're wanting to instill fear in everyone. And as Christians, we know that perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, we can take the high road, so to speak, and realize that regardless of what we have to go through down here, and it's easier said than done, but in reality we have Christ, and we only look to Christ. You know, Walt and I talk all the time, and we end up our conversation saying the same thing. You know, on Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So that's basically where we're at. And I was the other day I got an email from Ashley, and we probably email 4 or 5 times a day, just little blips, and it's very encouraging to know there are other people out there, you know, that we're not totally out here alone by ourselves.
Right.
And what time is it there, Ashley, right now?
It's just after midnight, Thursday.
I thought you're really making a sacrifice to get up at midnight.
No.
Well.
No, just calm down. Just after midnight.
Yeah.
On Thursday.
I got you. So, well, you know, I was looking today. Every day we have my son likes to, he hasn't been doing it on air, but he has been reading some scriptures off air. And today, see if I can find it here, what he read. But it was pretty apropos for what we're going through. I think we've probably read it before. You know, I've often told people when I really get discouraged or down, I find myself resorting to the Psalms, you know. But anyway, this is the 11th Psalm. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, there's the real. What can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is, Lord's throne is in heaven. His eye beholds, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fires and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance does behold the upright. So that gives us it gives me a lot of strength to know that the enemy comes in like a flood, but we have a great defender. Does anybody have anything they would like to say? I'll just kind of open it up for anybody that might have something on their mind.
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying with me, despite how obviously bad things get, or how it seems to be, I gotta remember that Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through. Through this ultimate sacrifice to be the mediator between us and his Father. Because he went through a lot worse than we could ever imagine. Personally, he literally went through a lot worse than what we're going through now, despite how tough it is. It's nothing compared to what he dealt with personally. So for me, it's a real reminder of that, where the only refuge is in him and then his Father with the Holy Spirit. Because without that, I'll be just going crazy personally.
Well, I think we should all definitely remember Mike, especially tonight. Mike Orr, he's out of a job, and you know he's out there. We all have some semblance of income coming in at some level, but Mike's kind of been cut out off of everything. So, Mike, we just encourage you. We will hold you up in prayer that God will lead you to the right wherever you need to be. Because my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I just want to say though, I mean, the Lord has provided. I'm living at my mom's house right now.
Okay.
So I mean, and one of the great things is I was listening to you earlier, Larry, "The Sovereignty of God" by Arthur Pink.
That's right.
That means everything is to the most minute detail in my life is being taken care of, and I believe that. You know.
It's really amazing how God works and how, you know, I had done a little personal testimony. I've done about three different ones over the years, and I did one about 3 years ago, and I put it on the platforms, and I've gotten several different people that have emailed me, and they've said things like, you know, I never realized, you know, until just recently that, you know, that God is, you know, God is sovereign. You know, he's, in other words, they said, we've always been brought up with a conditional God. You know, in other words, you know, if we do this, if we do that, God will do that. And, you know, they said, and so many of these people have said, I've realized that God is absolute. He's unchangeable, and he's not waiting for us to do something. He's not dependent upon us. He's independent of his creatures. And it's good to know that, because if we think that God is at our whim and call, you know, that's a very wimpy God, isn't it? So I'm glad that God is totally sovereign over these things. So,
Mike, what's the name of that book?
The Sovereignty of God by Arthur W. Pink. It's a book that it absolutely was instrumental in changing my life at 37 years
old.
Yeah.
Mine too, Larry.
At 37 years old, I was handed that book. And I started reading it, and I got so angry, I threw the book against the wall. I was just, because it came against everything I had been taught. And then I had my wife read the book, and I was talking to her, and I said, if what this man is saying is true, it shows how little I'd read the Bible, right? I said, if what this man is saying is true, everything we've been taught's been a lie. Well, that's
The Sovereignty of God by Arthur W. Pink.
Right? Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all my.
And I have, you can get that. I have that PDF, Adiola. I can send it to you.
Okay, so send me the PDF.
Yeah, I have a PDF.
That book was instrumental with me too, Larry. That was the one that really turned my head upside down. I've got to admit, it absolutely blew me away.
Oh yeah.
I have to admit, Larry, in that book you wrote that God doesn't love everybody, the one of God from it. I said, Larry, I have to admit, there are times where I wanted to call you up and tear you to shreds.
Right.
I said, God hates one and loves the other. And I'm like, and the more I read this, the more I got through the book, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I had to admit that God doesn't love everybody. Despite how he created everybody, he doesn't love everybody.
Right.
I'm still not there yet, but at the same time, I'm like, I almost want to call you and drive down there. I didn't care. 80 border cross and just wring your neck. Is it Larry? What kind of book is this?
Well, you know, it's when you get to Romans 9, you know, and it says, hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor, and it starts asking questions. What if God, okay? And the fact is that God is sovereign over evil. And, you know, it's like the whole discussion, oftentimes when you get into a discussion over the sovereignty of God, it originates out of the creation of the devil or of Lucifer, you know. And I often ask people, I often say, you know, I mean, it's pretty conclusive, but I'll ask him, was Satan an elect or a non-elect angel? Because, you know, the scripture talks about elect angels. And you can't have elect angels without having non-elect angels, okay? And God could so have created Satan that he would not have fallen if he'd so chosen to do so, okay? And so, you know, there was a plan for Satan's demise, and it was to bring about redemption to God's people. That was the purpose behind it. Walt, because you're not on camera, I don't want you to feel like you're left out in the cold there. Walt, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say,
you know, the flood. You know, only eight got on the boat.
Right.
And you know, and one thing I see with what's going on in the world right today is God is making it very clear. It's clear. It's not. You know, sometimes it's not what you think it. You know, you want it to be, but this. I mean, it's very clear. And this is what I see clear. God has made it so clear where the world is. I mean, I'm not judging somebody by the shot or the mask, but you know, I can't wear the mask because I just came from the store just a little while ago, and you know, I just, you know, it's a clear line. It's a clear line now. What's going on, you know?
Well, Fauci has even said, you know, on the air, as it relates to the airlines, he said the reason we want people to wear masks on the airlines is to motivate everyone to get vaccinated. So it's all about control. It has nothing to do with the mask being a protector. The mask does not protect, and, you know, it's not, this whole thing is about control. That's all it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
yeah, and obviously with me, all I can say is this is from my personal experience. What I've noticed, if we don't feel like we're slightly a bit crazy and questioning if what we're experiencing is real, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. It's, I don't know what it is. It's just, there are days where I question myself. I said, look, is it really what I'm feeling real? Is it really this, but just, I question that, and then I just turn on the news, and I'm like, okay, no, I get it now.
Well, and this is all tied to the central banks. This is all tied to bringing about digital currency and doing away so they can control your bank account. They can shut it off when they want to shut it off and turn it on when they want to turn it on. I mean, this is not only about economic control. And ultimately, it's going to be about spiritual control, meaning that we're going to have to worship the beast and bow down to the beast. We're not going to be able to buy or sell unless we have the mark. Let's just be frank about it. This digital tracking thing, and I'll just say that this. I had one of my renters send me a MoneyGram for Walmart. And the tracking, I didn't know this, okay, but the tracking number was on my phone, so I went into Walmart, and they scanned my driver's license. I have a Missouri driver's license. I didn't know there was anything in my Missouri driver's license that was scannable. There's a chip in my driver's license. My Missouri driver's license, there's a chip in there. And, you know, all they had to do is look at my phone and see the tracking number on the phone to validate who I was and whether they were going to give me the money for the MoneyGram or not. I didn't have to have any numbers. All they had to do is look at my phone. So, you know, it's eventually, you know, I believe that these phones are tied to 5G. I think that this RNA, this is directly tied to, I mean, this is a platform. They're building a platform. They're changing people's DNA. They're creating spike proteins. They're killing children. I mean, the World Health Organization director stated, you know, that some countries are killing children.
I saw that.
You know, yeah. I mean, anyway, so it's pretty amazing. It really is what's going on.
Arm raises his hand.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead. You know, by the way, before Tom says, I want to just point out, Walt said eight people were saved by water. There's eight people on this call. So, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
Don't worry, Tom. Tom and Tori, I'm watching up real
quick. Thanks, Daddy. No, I just wanted to mention that even here in Washington, when the troopers, because Ashley and Ron and Rodney, I mean, Mike, I used to work for the Washington State Patrol. in dispatch. And the troopers would just put, when they would stop somebody, they would put their license in the computer, scan it, and all the information was there.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's been around for a while.
Wow.
Even, but Larry, but when you're talking about the Cashless Society's control, it's already been there because even if you just look at the bank regulations,
yeah,
you can't withdraw more than $10,000. Anything more than that, to have the transfer called, like, to take it to the feds. Another example, here in, I just say here in Canada, under the Canadian Deposit Insurance Corporation, they basically say anything above $100,000, you have no access to. Like, so every account is insured up to $100,000. So the question you gotta ask yourself, what if you had, like, worked hard all your life, you had, like, $200,000 in your bank account, and you only insured up to $100,000. The rest is just gone. So, like, I just started reading this stuff personally. All the controls are there. You even get to the point where, like, in Ontario, the previous premier of the province had the bright idea to force all small business, as an example, your hairdresser, to use the electronic cash machines, like the electronic cash registers, like you see at the gas stations. So the question got asked, and it costs a couple thousand dollars. But the question you got to ask yourself: what if you're a barber or a hairdresser, and you're in a cash business, and you got to tell them to spend $2,000 on this particular system there? Then what?
Well, you know, I was just, Eddie Ola, I just went into Walmart today, and this just happened over the holidays. The local Walmart, the little neighborhood Walmart, has had three machines that would take cash, okay? All the rest of them are robotics, and they only take debit cards. I went in there, and I said, what happened to the cash machines? All the cash machines are now gone. There's only the debit card. There wasn't any in there that would take cash. They're trying to eliminate people using cash. And you know what the assistant manager said? Well, the reason we do that is we just don't have enough change. We don't have enough change. So.
Well, hey, I told you my experience in Walmart here in North Bay. As soon as you walk in, I mean, the entire line is three wall except for two cash registers at the end are all basically automated. One express and one non-express. But as soon as you walk in there, has a little self-serve kiosk, debit and credit only. And you're on camera watching you through. And it's all gated. Every time I walk in there, it's like, as I said, wow, this is literally not like the 23rd century, but it's right here. So as soon as you walk in, it's like a glorified warehouse.
Basically. Have you guys seen that video of I think he's at a CVS and he's not able to, it's a big thick glass, window, and above there's a sensor, and then on the side there's somewhere where you can scan, which would be like a vaccine passport.
Wow.
And you wouldn't even be able to get in to this.
Yeah, like I have seen that. Yeah.
Or a refrigerator that you see at the gas station.
Well, apparently, there's some gas stations that are getting set up like that too. They gotta have a vaccine passport, even if
I can't believe we're actually talking. I mean, this is right in front of our eyes. This is happening as we speak.
Yeah, I mean it's terrible, and this is where we note all these like point programs. You see. That's more conditioning right there. Like Air Miles, like FedEx, these Choice Chase staff are all these points programs are basically conditioned on the digital currency on top of the credit card.
Hey Brother Larry, one scripture that has been on my mind, you know, and I was always, and I don't believe it. I don't think I'm a futurist, but you know, in 2 Thessalonians 2, and I know the Reformation, they said that was the Pope, and I agree that the Pope is that man that sitteth in the temple of God, declaring himself or showing himself to be God.
Right.
I think that's what we understand about that being the Pope. But the abomination that causes desolation, which I also believe that that was a, there was a type and a shadow of that being fulfilled in 70 AD. Didn't Nero go into the temple?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I think there's a lot of prophecies that are concurrent. In other words, there's a lot of concurrence in it. In other words, it's applicable to things that happen in 70 AD, but they're going to reoccur again in the end times.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah. So, and that's I don't know what that makes me, but I believe, is it not possible the abomination that causes desolation, desolation of what? Wouldn't that be the desolation of the Holy Spirit? And like it says in Genesis, that the Lord will not always strive with man. As it was in the days of Noah, he said that.
Yeah, you know, I have heard, you know, I have heard so many interpretations of the abomination of desolation, it would blow your mind. I mean, there's a whole group of people out there that say the abomination of desolation is when, you know, there's these people that absolutely say that there's going to be a rebuilding of the temple and that they're, I know, and that the animal sacrifice is going to be reinstituted and so on.
That's what I was always taught.
And by the way, there are still people out there that are advocating that the building of rebuilding of the temple and all of that, and the Zionists are just all over this thing. Okay.
Well, see, if you compare scripture with scripture to get our understanding, which is the only safe way to interpret the Bible. Paul says that know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, and so dispensation, I think if I'm not mistaken, dispensationalism teaches that there's going to be a third physical temple. You know, I don't know where they get this hermeneutic from that there's going to be a third temple, because Jesus himself said that destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again.
Right. And by the way, anything that occurs around that building of the third temple, or anything that, you know, it's all absolutely, I mean, the whole Zionist genre is total Antichrist. Total Antichrist.
Amen.
The whole state of Israel, that whole mess. And by the way, Walton have talked about, you know, the Roman Catholic Church actually owns the Temple on the Mount.
Yeah.
You know, they have purchased the rights to that. And so just remember that the Zionists and the Roman Catholic Church are in bed together. I mean, I have seen Pope Francis literally hugging when Netanyahu was over there. He was hugging Netanyahu. You know, these people, it's all under one umbrella. That's what we have to remember. And so you're right. I mean, this whole thing about the temple, it has nothing to do with the true temple of God.
Robert, just to help layer the historical context, that started with Napoleon. The whole thing started with Napoleon. And number two, you have to understand the Khazars. So if one understands that, what you're seeing in the Middle East, they're the descendants of the Khazars, not the descendants of the Jews at the time of Jesus Christ. So two different like this.
I believe that they are those who say they are Jews and are not part of the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that, you know, if you can make a strong case, especially in 70 AD, that Rome was the beast and Jerusalem is the whore, because there's two Jerusalems in Scripture, and one is Mystery Babylon. If you compare Scripture with Scripture,
right?
And I believe that the Rome is the beast, but Rome is not the whore. Rome is the beast that the whore rides upon.
Right, and also I think it's important to note that Babylon, you know. If you look at Washington D.C., here's my question, and I could get Walt in on this, and we may not want to get Walt started down this trail anyway. But Washington D.C. is mirrored after Vatican. I mean the Capitol, the obelisk. I had a a person that went to Washington, D.C. She'd never been there before. She came back, and she actually teared up. And I said, Beth, what's wrong? And she goes, I have never seen such idolatry in my life. She said, the whole Washington, D.C. is full of idolatry. She says, I could never go back there again. Okay, well, look, that's what we see in Vatican, isn't it? I mean, it's full of idolatry. It's, you know, all you have to do, that's the only reason I send it out to people so that they're reminded. The only reason I send out the Vatican website with the Pope over there, not to make you up, Chuck, okay, but to show you the absolute, I mean, this is, and these people are blatant pedophiles. We talk about Epstein. They made a decision today. The jury made the decision on Epstein's counterpart, and they found her guilty. Well, so what? You know, why don't they start with the Pope and find him guilty of his pedophilic activity? You know.
But you know what's crazy about the whole
Queen of England.
Yes, that's right.
Right. What's amazing about that is that the Talmud, which is the Babylonian Talmud. It says that it encourages pedophilia.
Oh, it does. In fact, I was sharing.
Years old and younger.
I was sharing with Walt. I had to go. I worked with a social worker who happened to be a high level Jewish family, and she invited Rosette myself to the. They had a baby, and the rabbi was there, and it was really disgusting. I'm not going to go into what happened, but you all know what happened. This is. Right out in your face with it, okay? And so...
You know, Robert, I happen to agree with you. If one really reads the Babylonian Talmud and look for what it is, which is completely different from the original Old Testament and the King James, one really takes a hard look at it. It is disgusting what you'll find in it. Absolutely disgusting. And, I had a conversation with Walt one time over the phone. And the part that got me upset is that, the part that got me so upset is like, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, and I said, well, if they have a separation of church and state, why do you have an obelisk sitting there in D.C.?
That's right.
Yeah, and I was like, that's the part I thought, well, if they had a separate church and state, the obelisk would have been, they never would have built that.
Well, and the whole separation of church and state doesn't, you're going to, run a government according to a set of beliefs. You know, right. That's why in China, you can't have, you know, even though I would never have a picture of Jesus because I've never seen the guy, but you can't have a picture of Jesus in your house. You have to have the president of China to be in your house because he's God, according to China. And so that's a belief system.
Oh, I agree.
It's the same thing in America.
That's where
I struggle with the whole... You know, I believe that a born again Christian should desire to strive to be under common law, and we should be separated from this you know, all these are is corporations. These things that we're battling against are corporations. The word corporation has the word corpus.
Yeah,
there's no life to it. It's you know, the CDC, the FDA, the United States, they're all corporations, and it's like here we are. We're made in the image of God. We, you know, the Lord breathed life into us. A man became a living soul. Here's these living souls battling with these dead corporations. You know, it talks about how God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And these are just the things that I've been like thinking about. I'm like, man, like, you know, what does it mean to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing? Like, I know that has to do with Rome and Catholicism. But I think it's really going to come a time where we have to come out of this system.
It reminds me of the song, Robert. Remember the old song? They sold their soul to the company store. I mean, from the womb to the tomb, we are a part of that. I was starting with the birth certificate, starting with the marriage certificate, all the way down through. And you know, I have to be honest. I'm so immersed in that system. I hate it. I mean, I get Social Security. My son's on disability income. And, you know, if all of that were removed, you know, it would probably cut our income in half. We would still be able to survive off of as long as my tenants pay their rent. But I'll tell you what, you know, if things go down, my tenants are going to be paying their rent anyway. And,
sure.
And so the reality of it is that if they want to shut this thing down, Robert, all they have to do is they, you know, now it's a little different for Adeola over there in Canada because he's relying on public transportation. He's relying on public transportation. But, you know, for us, I mean, all they have to do is tie the vaccine mandate to our driver's license, right?
Well, but that's what I'm talking about, brother. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that driver's license, my all capital name, and this is what I was talking to Brother Ashley about when I asked him if he ever heard about that Romney Stewart guy, who also himself is in Australia. But he talks about how the reason why we get our bills in all capital letters is because that's not us. That was a corporation that was created in our name, because a corporation cannot do business with a living soul.
Right.
A corporation can only do business with another corporation. A dead thing cannot talk to a living thing. A dead thing can only talk to another dead thing.
Can I just interrupt you?
Sure.
I'm sorry, yes, sir. But I have to go in a moment. You're just talking about corporations here, and if you look on the New York Stock Exchange, you'll find that Australia is listed under as a corporation.
It's the SEC.
Mm-hmm. It's
like United States, Australia, Canada, they're all corporations on Dun & Bradstreet. But how many people know that? I didn't know that.
Not many. I just found it out recently, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and if you look on the Security Exchange Commission's website, it's all listed.
Yep.
Like Robert, I totally agree with you on what you're saying there. But I'm on just building myself and trying to earn income.
What I'm saying is that I think what they're trying to do with these vaccines is that right now we could still separate ourselves from that birth certificate is not me. That social security number is not me. But I think what they want to do is they want to put that in me. Because right now they can't own me. They own those pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. But they can't own me because I'm made in the image of God. But they're trying to corrupt my DNA. They're trying to change my DNA. They're trying to mark me so that now they can own me. And they can turn me into that birth certificate. And maybe I'm completely wrong in my understanding here, but this is just I was thinking about the abomination that causes desolation. But maybe I'm completely, you know, because it's that, you can't deny the fact that if you compare to scripture to scripture, the temple of God is the body. You know, and so something is going to happen to the body that's going to make it desolate so that, like it says in Revelation, the light of the candle will shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom will, you know, his voice is his word. It's the Holy Spirit, right? Does any of this make sense?
Oh, yes. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the reality. Ashley, we appreciate, okay. I appreciate.
Nice speaking to everybody. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, all I'm saying is that all I'm saying with this whole corporate kind of system and everything, we just have to learn, I mean, the term be in this world and out of this world, where Jesus Christ said is still the best when he said that, when it says, pay to seize what is Caesar's. Yeah. When it's legitimate. Beyond that, it's like what Jesus Christ was saying is the less power you give them, the better. The very limited of power you give, the better.
Right.
So when I look and hear be subject to higher powers in Romans 13, if you read the entire chapter of that book, I said, yeah, but if it's legitimate, if it doesn't conflict with God and your through Jesus Christ and your conscience and the Holy Spirit, I have no problem with that. The moment it does, get out of here. So right. You have to have that, what I've noticed, they have to have the proper context. So it's just to sit there and realize for what it is and basically say, you know what, let me just engage where absolutely needed. Beyond that, nothing to do with it.
Right, and you know, I still hold a job. I hold a job under that name. So I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm acknowledging it for what it is. You know, and I'm no longer deceived into believing that it's something that it's not.
Right, and I think we all have our, I guess you would say, where we draw our lines, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you're probably a lot like me, Robert. Your line is drawn, I mean, I could not, under...
I'm not getting the vaccine.
By the grace
line.
Of God, I could, yeah, I cannot wear a mask. I cannot take the jab.
I'm the same way, Larry.
And if I'm brought to a point where, you know, I'm given an ultimatum, whether I die or take the jab, you know, I'm ready to go home. Okay. And by the way, I've had extensive conversations with my son Mark and Rosette, and I know Tom has talked to his wife, and I know where they stand. And I imagine everybody on this call is in the same position. I've talked to Walt, and Walt said, if they show up at my house and it's the National Guard or military, and they say they're going to jab me, he says, I'm going to fight like, you know what, they're going to have to hold me down to jab me. In other words, he's going to resist with everything he can, and he goes, I'm 77. We all know how old you are, Walt. Okay. So anyway,
I'm just saying, in my case, Larry, yeah. I think that does a lot more than hold me down. You're gonna have to try real hard.
I guess my whole point of that whole thing was is that if it comes down, we get an announcement from the president saying that all U.S. citizens or all residents or all persons, you know, something like that, and you have to be vaccinated. That's where I think this information that I'm talking to you about with the corporations and everything, that's where we could be like, well, I'm not this, I'm this, according to scripture. I'm not a corporation, I'm a living soul,
right,
in the image of God.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's all I was trying to say.
No, I hear you.
I think that day is coming. They are going to try to make everybody, right?
I think it is. And I think, you know, I think they're using this as a pretext for causing it to happen. You know, this is just a vehicle. This vaccination is just a vehicle to get them from point A to point B. That's all it is. And anyway, Walt, your hand's up. Go ahead. Walt? Walt, is your mic unmuted? Well, anyway, he had his hand up, and Walter, Mike is muted.
Well, you're still okay, Larry.
Well, I don't know. If you talk to my wife part of the time, she would not agree with you on that. So.
That's between you two.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Go ahead, Walt.
Okay. You know, well, I've been listening, you know, and the bottom line, God is, we are in the times, we are in the time of the flood, and we're not going to make, and man didn't make the water rise. You know, we have the bottom line, God is still sovereign. He's sovereign, and somehow, some way, he's going to take care of us. Okay, and it might be death.
Amen.
It could be death, and there's millions that have died before us.
Amen.
And they killed the Savior.
Right.
No, I really enjoyed this evening, and the fact that there's been eight or nine of us here, like-minded, with sound minds that are not yelling fire, 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 and just, I mean, we understand that it's not in our hands, it's in God's hands, you know, I went to town today, and you know, the Black Lives Matter is on the corner, social justice, environmental justice. They got many, many signs all the way around, right on 101, you know. And I just go around that corner with my eyes focused on the white line and you know, I mean, because we're not going to stop anything, you know. You know, you're not going to, the pandemic is kind of a lesson. The people that are wearing this mask, there's no way you could touch them. Only God could touch them. Yeah. You know, and there's a reason why every one of us in here, don't wear a mask, and it's not because of our free will. God has put it on our conscience. Every time I go into that store, see, they don't make me wear a mask, and nobody bothers me. But that could change overnight. And I'm ready when they come and try to put, you know, I do have a shield, you know, but, I haven't had to wear it, you know. I shared this once other time, but you know, like, it's called the Bannon buzz. You know, and to understand where the mindset of man is right now, of the general population, it says in this, Dylan also brings to the city 12 years of experience as a military police officer and leader, including service in counterterrorism, VIP security for high-ranking officers, and as a war crimes investigator for the United Nations. The police chief of this little town of Bandon, he's got 12 years experience, you know, and he's been working for the United Nations, you know. So praise God that I want to thank you for all coming tonight, because it's comforting for me to just sit back and listen, you know, because everything is being said is been going through my head. I mean, and you have to every once in a while say, is this really happening? And like I said to Larry the other day, I said, are we making a big deal out of this? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that are just going about, you know, they're going to Hawaii. They put on their mask and go to Hawaii. And you know, the football stadiums are plumb full.
Right. Everyone's
last year, you know, they played in front of empty stadiums. But this year they're full. You know why they're full? It's because everybody that gets into the game is vaccinated.
Right.
You know, so the world is kind of, you know, see, they're not having to use force right now because they've got enough people just giving up their rights. You know, anyway, everyone in here, 2 years ago, look what happened. Look what Tom, and he's had to quit his job, you know. And it's not just in this state too. It's here and there. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Australia. That's the thing that I realize. It's the beast. It's the beast. When this first started, Rosette said to Larry one time, this is the beast rising.
Amen.
And that's what's happening. The beast is rising. You know, this country was the American Revolution was fomented by the Jesuits. Washington, D.C., the Capitol building, is a basilica. It's a cathedral. It's a house of worship. And I look at myself, you know, when President Kennedy was assassinated, he was my commander in chief. I was in the military. And then I went to Washington DC to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, TDY, to an engineer school. And I go back in my life and I realize just how ignorant I was of what was going on. Not that I know it all. We don't know everything. We're not an all-seeing eye. We're not claiming that. But we understand.
We're not
that shot. That shot and that mask. There's no way we want. That's a finger in God's eye. I mean, right. You know, that's idolatry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we're at right now. We never thought we'd be there. And it means that now when we talk about God is still sovereign, He's sovereign.
I think Walt brought this up a couple of days ago. We were talking. I think if I were to name this fellowship, I'd call it the Protestant Fellowship. Okay. What are we protesting? We're protesting the evil. What happened in the Reformation? What were they protesting? They were protesting. They were protesting the works, the sale of indulgences, the worship of Mary, the idolatry, the graven images. When Luther went into Rome, he was appalled at all the immorality in Rome, and so they were protesting this works doctrine. Now, like Walt has said, we are in what is the Inquisition now? We're in a great Inquisition. What's the Inquisition? That's right. And it's going to be a number of things. It's going to be digital tracking, you know, and you got to have a smartphone if you're going to do digital track, right? And you've got to be able to, you know, I've been getting notices from my bank that I've got a couple different banks that I associate with, but one bank I've had bank accounts with them for about 30 years. 30 years I've been doing banking with this bank. Now I'm starting to get notices from them. Are you COVID-19 protected? What business is it of my bank whether I'm COVID-19 protected? You know, and I saw the other day on a McDonald's window, a drive-through McDonald's window, it said we would request that our customers wear a mask at the drive-through. Can you believe that? And you know what? I went through a bank the other day, and I go to this. I know this. He's a young fella. He's got a great sense of humor, and I said to him, you know, he was wearing a mask, and of course. He's inside the bank. There's only three tellers in the bank. The customers are outside, and he's talking to me over a TV camera, and he has a mask on. And I said, I cannot understand anything you're saying. Can't you just drop your mask? Nope, can't do it. He said, I can't do it. You know, and we were both laughing about it, okay? Well, the next time I went back to that bank, he didn't have his mask on. And he said, don't say anything. Yes, I'm celebrating, okay? Then the next time I went back, he had his mask back on again. He goes, shut up. They're just as irritated as we are. A lot of these people are just as irritated as we are. They're trying to keep their job, okay? They're trying to survive. And so, you know, I'm like, well, you have to see some humor in some of this. I mean, this is absolutely so asinine, so crazy, so ludicrous, so irrational, so, you know.
I was in a credit union earlier this afternoon, and the lady didn't have a mask on. So at the moment, sat in front of her and said, look, just keep off. I said, oh, I have to because I wanted people seeing when he walked by me. I'm like, I won't say nothing. It's like, come on, man. It's like, we're sitting for like 5 minutes. But just as that, like, she was by herself in her office, no mask, but the moment I sat down with the shield, I said, look, I'm like, I've seen that. The mask. Flip the mask on. I'm like, holy shit, here. I just shook my head. But by herself, with the air flowing in there, without a mask, but the moment I sit in front of her, mask right on. So look, I just have five, I'm only here for 5 minutes.
Hey, Robert. Robert's got his hand up too. Go ahead, Robert.
Have you is it Judaism? They read from right to left. We read left to right, but they read right to left. And so if you read COVID backwards, it's Devok. Have you heard about that? How Devok means possession of an evil spirit?
No, I haven't heard that. But nothing would surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember what they talked about when they first came out with Corona. Remember that? The word Corona?
Right.
Yeah. There's,
which means crown, right? And
yes.
Jesus, you know, they talk about let no man steal your crown.
Right.
In the book of Revelation. Well, our crown, it talks about in Proverbs how it shall be a crown of gold, wisdom. Right?
Right.
It'll be grace about your neck. And so, man, there's just so many scriptures that seem to, you know, but that, I mean, that's God's word. It's living, right? It's sharper than a two-edged sword.
Right.
But, man, there's, his word is just full of wisdom and it's truth. And it really is a light, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path.
Yeah, Adeola, when you were talking about that lady in the credit union, I could just, you painted a picture. I mean, I have had people that actually, they'll have the mask down underneath their nose. And you saw that thing on the airline where that gal slapped that guy that didn't have a mask on. And he was eating. And she had her mask down under her nose and slaps and spits on him because he's eating without a mask on. Now, she was arrested. I'm glad to know that. But, you know, these people, they have an attitude that they're, that, you know, it reminds me of tell on your neighbor, you know. It's almost like little kids and tattletales, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been on for 74 minutes tonight, and we all have had a chance to share. I want to thank Rodney for coming and joining us tonight. Rodney, it scares me to death to know that you've been listening to me for 3 years. I mean, there's a lot of history in the last 3 years. You know, I sometimes have to, you know, I've been on Sermon Audio for, 12 years, and I'm telling you, there's been some things, you know, we all go back through, and we've had times in our life we go, wow, did I really say that? Did I really say that? I've even had to go on Sermon Audio and take stuff down, okay? Because God reveals truth to us as we go through this life. We learn things. Hopefully we learn some things. But anyway, I want to thank, Rodney for coming on tonight. And also, Robert, it's good to see you again. And Mike, you're certainly in our prayers. And I'm glad to know that you've got a place to live, you know. And I know for a fact that Tom and Tori have an alternative place to live, even though it has wheels on it. Anyway, I have to kid Tori about that. Anyway, Tori, how's Tori feeling, by the way, Tom?
Well, it kind of comes and goes.
Okay.
Thankfully, by God's grace, today was good.
Good.
Yesterday was a little bit rough. My chest was hurting all day.
Okay.
So I decided, you know, I need to take it easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, wow. It's amazing. It's amazing what sometimes we have to go through. Robert, your hand's still up.
Oh,
that's okay. I wondered if you wanted to add some more. Walt, do you have any final things to say before we close this out?
No, but I'm thankful that Mike came and Rodney came. I, you know, that's part of
That's part of Satan's way, is to isolate us. But yeah, we're not by ourselves.
That's right.
Christ is, you know, keep a smile on your face and Christ in your heart.
Right.
And do one day at a time. And it's easier said than done, but that's all we can do. Cause you remember months ago, I used to say this pandemic is biblical proportions. And this is a biblical event because it's covering the whole earth, you know, and it's in 190 some nations, you know.
Yeah.
And every time I see that mask, some of these masks, I see, and it's when I see young people with it really stings. I seen the family today. I was in the store and there was a family. They had three girls and two boys and every one of them had a mask on. It's praise God, you know, but I don't say nothing. I don't say nothing, you know, because it's like this. Before this pandemic, people could say, well, I don't believe in 9/11. Okay, that's fine. And I don't believe in this conspiracy and all, you know. But this here, people are, see, they've been very successful because they haven't used force. They have in places, yet people are doing fines and stuff. So, but anyway, I love you and I love you guys. And if Tom and Tori can do it, if Mike can do it, if Rodney can do it, you know, if Robert can do it, I can do it. So, you know, anyway, we'll,
yeah. And I would like to I'd like to remind people. Yeah, I know there may be some people on that don't agree with me on this, but, I'm probably too much transparent, but I do believe in the absolute predestination of all things. Okay. Think about it. I believe in the absolute predestination of all things. That includes everything that happens. When Scripture says that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. All things. Not some things. And so if we believe in predestination, if we believe in election, if we believe that we've been chosen in Him from the foundation of the world, if we do believe that all that the Father has given Him will come to Him, and all that come to Him He will in no wise cast out. If we actually believe that the children being not yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. There's some people out there that God hates, and we can kind of see who they are right now, right? But also we kind of know who He loves too, right? And so that's my final little rant. So I love every one of you. And anyway, Walt, I'll look forward to talking to you at 12 o'clock my time in the morning, and we'll do that hour broadcast. And then, Tom, I'm looking forward to the Bible study on Sunday night. We're going to be doing that. It'll be on all the platforms after the broadcast. It's going to be an hour. We're going to be working through the Gospel of John. And then we're going to be doing the Sunday morning fellowship call at 11 o'clock Central Time. So we've been busy. We've been pretty busy. But, you know, it's better to keep busy because it keeps your mind on track. And we just got to stay focused on the gospel. And that's what I believe. Well, listen, thanks, everybody. And we love everyone. And we hope you have a great evening.
You as well.
Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.